Hello and welcome to Trailhead Church Live. I'm Pastor Anna, and we're going to have a great time in the Word of God today. I'm excited. This is a message that the Lord, He actually gave me a couple of months ago, and I'm thrilled to be able to share what He has shared with me with you right in your home. If you're a first-time guest with us, we're thrilled. So we want to connect with you. Please click on the connection button below. That way we can get to know you. This is a great time to connect, to get plugged in, and just to really encourage one another. So we are so happy to have you with us at Trailhead Church Live. All right, we're going to jump right into offering. I love offering time. I was actually thinking about what it looks like to give in this season, and the Lord took me to Mark chapter 12, verse 41 through 44 of the widow's mite, and how she gave her very best. And out of that, you know, the Lord used that as a beautiful example of what it looks like to give God our best when we feel like we don't have much to give. So as you give your offering today, as you give your tithe today, I just want to encourage you to give God your best at right where you're at, knowing that God knows your heart, He knows where you're at today, and that He's faithful. You know, we give because we love God, but we also know that God is faithful, and as we sow seed, He's a God of the harvest, of more than enough, and He wants to meet your needs today. So how can we give through Trailhead Live? Well, you can download the new app, which is amazing. Super excited about this app. It's just awesome, so you need to download it anyway. Select the Giving tab at the bottom, or you can text to give Trailhead to the number 888-364-GIVE, or that's 888-364-4483. You can also drop your checks off at the Youth Center downtown. So we've got multiple ways that we can give today, and I encourage you to give. We're going to pray over this offering, over your tithes, and then we're going to get right into the Word of God. So I'm going to give you a moment to grab your Bible, get your faith journal. I want you to get ready. This is a message that, I mean, God really, just the Holy Spirit has sealed it in my heart, and I know that the Lord is going to minister this message to you just right where you're at. So as we pray, we're going to pray over the offering, and then we're also going to pray over today's message together as well. So Heavenly Father, we come together in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I thank You for this time of giving. Lord, I thank You that we are generous towards the kingdom of God, and that as we give our tithes and our offerings, Lord, that You honor these first fruits. You honor this sacrificial giving. We're giving it cheerfully. Lord, we're giving it unto You because, God, we love You. And Lord, we know that You're faithful. I thank You, Lord, for those that are needing jobs, for those that are needing income to come in. Lord, for those right now that have just been just desperate and concerned, Lord, You are meeting them right where they are at, bringing in everything that they need, and it's according to Your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And Lord, we thank You that we have a generous church, that we are taking care of one another, lifting one another up, encouraging one another, and blessing one another. We are the church, and we're so thankful. And then, Father God, we come in agreement over this message today. Lord, we thank You that it's Your word, and that Your word is bringing power. It's life-giving word, and Lord, we receive it with spiritual ears that are open and listening, with hearts that are ready to receive, and Lord, that we're going to say yes and act upon this word. So Holy Spirit, You speak it forth in the name of Jesus with signs following. Lord, we love You, we praise You, we magnify You, we give You all the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, are you guys ready? Because I'm extremely excited. So I'm excited to get into just, I mean, it's going to be so good. So, all right, let's jump on in. The title for this message is Desperation. And you say, oh, goodness, that, you know, you have a smile on your face, and here, this is a heavy, you know, a heavy topic of what I'm getting ready to talk about. And I think that the reason I'm so excited and I'm able to say this word desperation with a smile is because I recognize the end result of where God's going to take us. That this time of desperation can be a time of restoration. So if we look at the definition of desperation, it means a state of despair, typically one which results in rash or extreme behavior. despair results in rash or extreme behaviors. You know, we are in a time of desperation right now where we're seeing so many different behaviors. And I understand this place of desperation. We've each found ourselves there where you just think, what is going on? How am I going to make it? How am I going to get through just today or maybe even the next hour? And so out of this message, I believe that one, the Holy Spirit has given us a word of leading us through this place of desperation, but that we are not going to look like the world whenever we come to that place of despair. We're going to find ourselves parked today in the story of Hannah. So if you got your Bibles out, I want you to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 1. I'm going to read this through the message. The other area in the Word of God that we're going to go to instead of Scripture today will be Psalm chapter 37. So you can go ahead and mark your Bible with that. But we see that the world has a different view of desperation. It can take you to panic, irrational decision-making, emotional turmoil, isolation, basing feelings off of fear, and you're just willing to do whatever you can to make those feelings of desperation go away. And if we get into this story of Hannah, we're going to do some little compare and contrast here with the two women we're getting ready to talk about. And I want you to identify where you're at today, because out of that, I know that the Lord's going to minister and take you to your next step. So let's start off here, 1 Samuel chapter 1. I'm going to begin in verse 3. Here we go. So every year this man went from his hometown up to Shiloh to worship and offer a sacrifice to the God of the angel armies. Eli and his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, served as the priests of God there. And when Elkanah sacrificed, he passed helpings from the sacrificial meal around to his wife, Peninnah, and all of her children, but he always gave an especially generous helping to Hannah because he loved her so much and because God had not given her children. But her rival wife taunted her cruelly, rubbing it in and never letting her forget that God had not given her children. This went on year after year. And every time she went to the sanctuary of God, she would expect to be taunted. Could you imagine? Hannah was reduced to tears and she had no appetite. And her husband, Elkanah, said, "Oh, Hannah, why are you crying? Why aren't you eating? And why are you so upset? Am I not more worth to you than 10 sons?" You see, desperation can cause us to separate from the things of God and take things into our own hands. And this is where, starting off, I just want to put this out there. God has called us to separate from the world and to put everything into His hands. True fulfillment does not come from the world. You know, true fulfillment comes from surrender to the one who saved the world. We see so many different places here. We see Hannah's husband trying to fulfill this place of desperation with giving her a double portion. Am I not enough? Can I not fulfill this for you? And then we see both wives. You know, that's a sticky situation anyway, but let's get in here and let's look at just this contrast, because where you turn will be your outcome. Where you turn in this time of desperation, that's what your life is going to look like. And we each have a moment in time where you can choose where you place your emotions in this time of desperation or despair. We're going to deal with these emotions. It's going to happen. That's life. That's reality. But it's what we choose in that moment of how we turn those emotions, of where we direct our feelings, of how we surrender. You guys, that's what paints the whole picture of where you'll find yourself. And so we see this contrast between Hannah and Peninnah. So this is quite amazing, because they both went with their husband to worship, meaning they had the same type of spiritual growth opportunities. They lived in the same household, and both women battled desperation. One from a place of barrenness, and then one from a place of jealousy. You see, Peninnah was jealous of the attention that Hannah's receiving. And we see that Hannah, in her moments of desperation, she chose to turn to God. We see Peninnah in the moment of desperation. You know, she didn't have to taunt Hannah, but she clearly was so upset that in that moment, she chose to go the opposite direction. It says she taunted Hannah for years. Here we have two women, same household, going different directions at where they're at in their places of despair. You know, this is where we can evaluate ourselves of looking. You know, we see one who's following, you know, the taunting and just saying whatever comes to her mouth clearly and making someone feel bad. You know, that's not godly. That's not what God is asking out of us during this time. Causing people to be upset to the point of tears, of, you know, not wanting to take care of themselves. And each of us today, we're in our own personal battles. And, you know, out of this, wherever we go, that's where we're going to see the greatest breakthrough. And that takes me to Psalm chapter 37. You guys, Psalm 37, it's where it's at. I mean, this shows us a beautiful picture. It actually, starting off at the beginning of the chapter, it talks about the heritage of the righteous and the calamity of the wicked. And I wanted to go here today because I believe this follows right along with this contrast of these two women and in this moment of desperation. You see, this is how we apply God's word to our lives, of you identify where you're at and you think, oh, Lord, thank you for correcting me and helping me that in this time that I'm turning to you, but Lord, you're leading and guiding me. I mean, just to be real, yesterday I'm preparing for this message and I said, God, you know, I just want this to be delivered exactly what you want, and I'm kind of getting all up in my feelings. And he said, hey, how about you just do Psalm 37, what you're preaching? And I said, all right, that's, you know, that sounds good. I'll just commit this to you, and Holy Spirit, I'll let you have your way. I'll just get out of the way. You know, God, you have your way. So, you know, it's where each one of us are at. So if we get into Psalm 37, I'm going to read several scriptures here. And I want the Lord, he's just going to bring some things to light. He says, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Psalm 37, verse 1 through 11. So what can we grab out of that, of this contrast of where we find ourselves today? One, God's telling us not to compare ourselves to others. We look at this and, you know, it's not about what they have or what we don't have or where they're going or what this looks like and each and every one of our own. You know, listen, you are who you are, and who you are is amazing in Christ Jesus. And he tells us to trust in the Lord and do good. Do something good for somebody today. We're not taunting people. We're not out to get people. No, we're to trust in God, that God's taking care of our emotions, our places of desperation, of who we are in Christ Jesus. And then we're choosing to do good according to his plan. It says to delight in the Lord. That word delight actually means live or spend enjoyment. Are you living with Jesus? Are you spending enjoyment with God each day? You guys, this is just every day. This is meeting us right where we're at in this moment. Then he says to commit our way to him. Have you committed your way to God? Are you giving him that personal surrender? I like to say you're waving the white flag of God, I am giving this to you. And then are you resting in the Lord and waiting patiently for him? Or are you just forging ahead, doing your own thing? I went through a season where, man, it was like I was leading and expecting God to follow. Oh man, God corrected me big time. He said, no, how about I lead and you follow? I want you to hear my voice and I want you to follow after what I have to say about your life. I was so thankful that God corrected me in that time, because when I was leading, it was a hot mess. You know, I was exhausted. I wasn't enjoying life. When you commit yourself to God and you rest in Him and you allow Him to lead you in the way you should go, I mean, that's supernatural rest and peace during this time. If you jump to verse 18 and 19, this is really good, you guys, of Psalm 37. It says, "The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever." Remember, this is that contrast between those that are righteous. And you know, when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He says that you are right standing in Christ, that you are righteous, that you are made new, that this is your inheritance as a child of God. "And they shall not be ashamed," verse 19, "in the evil time, and in the days of famine," whoa, this is good, "they shall be satisfied." In that time of desperation, in that time of famine, they shall be satisfied. This is God's promise to you. I want to read verse 23 through 26, and then we're going to move on here with the story of Hannah. But in verse 23 of Psalm 37, it says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delights in his way. Though he fall," yeah, there's going to be moments we fall. There's going to be some tough things we're going through. I'm sure if we all raised our hand, we can say, yeah, that was yesterday. You know, or, I mean, it could be this very moment. But he says, "He shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging for bread. He is ever merciful and he lends, and his descendants are blessed." God's mercies are new every morning for you today, and great is his faithfulness. This is the hope that you have whenever you turn that desperation to God. And that takes me to this just personal place of where we're at, of what is on the top of the list that you need from the Lord right now. In this place of possible, you know, just desperation of crying out to God, what is at the top of your list? I want you to check your heart in that before we move into this. And maybe you say, "Ann, I'm good. Everything's great." Okay. All right. Well, let's go to that place. If that's the case, then I want you to get yourself before God. And you know, we all should be desperate to see souls saved. We all should be desperate to see people come to know Jesus. So I don't really feel that we're ever at a place of not seeking after the things of God, of moving forward with Him. I don't ever want to be at that place of like, "No, I'm good. Peace out. Check out. I'm done. Everything's great." No. No, God, I want more of you. God, I want you to minister to my heart today of taking me to that place of what you're desperate for. So let's look at Hannah. How can we, like Hannah, commit ourselves to God during this time of desperation? What does this look like of what's at the top of your list at this moment? Number one, it's turning to God. When you're desperate for God, you are desperate for what God loves. You see, desperation for God leads to emotional peace, healing, and restoration. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 9 through 18, it says, "So Hannah ate, then she pulled herself together. She slipped away quietly and entered the sanctuary." This is her moment of going to God. "The priest Eli was on duty at the entrance to God's temple in the customary seat. Crushed in soul, Hannah prayed to God and cried inconsolably. Then she made a vow, 'Oh God of the angel armies, if you'll take a good hard look at my pain, if you'll quit neglecting me and go into action for me by giving me a son, I'll give him completely, unreservedly to you. I'll set him apart for a life of holy discipline.' And so it happened that as she continued in prayer before God, Eli was watching her closely. Hannah was praying in her heart silently. Her lips moved, but no sound was heard. Eli jumped to the conclusion that she was drunk. He approached her and said, 'You're drunk. How long do you plan to keep this up? Sober up, woman.' Hannah said, 'Oh no, sir, please. I am a woman hard used. I haven't been drinking, not a drop of wine or beer. The only thing I've been pouring out is my heart, pouring it out to God.'" Don't for a minute think I'm a bad woman. It's because I'm so desperately unhappy and in such pain that I've stayed here so long. Eli answered her. He said, go in peace, and may the God of Israel give what you have asked of him. Think well of me and pray for me, she said, and she went her way. Then she ate heartily, her face radiant. Hannah, in turning to God, did battle in prayer, poured herself out before the Lord, to the point the priest thought that she was drunk. Have you been to that place where you've just poured yourself out before God? It says her lips weren't even moving. Could you imagine what that looked like in that place of desperation? But in it, she wasn't turning to strong drink like, you know, Eli thought that she was. No, she was turning to God. She was doing battle in prayer. What we take in prayer gives God the opportunity to work on our behalf through his power at work in us. That's what this looks like, to turn to God in a time of desperation. You see, God's ways are always higher. This is what it looks like to be separate from the world, to not do what the world does. You guys know Isaiah chapter 55, 8 through 9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. Aren't you so glad? But he says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I'm thankful that God's ways are higher, that his thoughts are better than anything we could hope for ourselves. And that takes me to number two, in this place of turning to God. We've got to cling to God's word. You see, when you cling to God's word, that's saying yes to God's promises. That's saying yes to what God is asking of you today. That's choosing to isolate the lies of the enemy. You see, God heard her cry and he gave Hannah a promise. She received that promise and she refused to let go. We see in 1 Samuel chapter 1, 19 through 20, up before dawn, they worshiped God and returned home. And Elkanah slept with Hannah, his wife, and God began making the necessary arrangements in response to what she had asked. Before the year was out, Hannah had conceived and given birth to a son, and she named him Samuel, explaining, I asked God for him. That's saying yes to God's promises today. They did what they needed to do, but God made the arrangements upon the request that she had made in turning to God, of clinging to that word from the Lord that God had given the priest, of God's going to do this for you because this is who God is. And he honors when you go to him in faith and you cling to his word. So it's time for us to say yes to God's promises, to cling to what he's saying about our lives. That takes me to number three. That as you cling to his word, as you say yes, then you've got to receive. Receive what God has promised you today. You know, this is a difficult one for a lot of us. I once told someone, I was like, I'm a great receiver. And then the next week, someone wanted to bless me something that was out of my comfort zone. And I was like, no, I can't receive that. And the Holy Spirit was like, oh, so you're a great receiver, huh? I see how you are. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm not a great receiver. You know, often we feel like, no, I don't want this. God, I can't take this. This is too much. It's too good. It's too big. But we've got to be able to receive what God has promised and know that this is our inheritance. Just like he said in Psalm 37, this is your inheritance of the righteous. God wants to bless you. He wants to help you. He wants to restore your relationships. He wants to heal your body. He wants to restore your marriage. He wants your children to be saved. He wants your finances to come in. He wants your household to be at peace. Receive what he's willing to give you today. You see, receiving is also rejoicing. That's taking that step of, you know what, that's right, God, you're doing this, and I'm going to worship you, and I'm going to rejoice of who you are, that you are God. And that in this time of crying out to you, you heard my cry, you've answered my prayer, and I'm having patient endurance, right? I'm waiting for you, and I'm going to rejoice in this moment. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 27 through 28. They first butchered the bull and then brought the child to Eli, and Hannah said, excuse me, sir, would you believe that I'm the very woman who is standing before you at this very spot praying to God? I prayed for this child, and God gave me what I asked for, and now I have dedicated him to God. He's dedicated to God for life. Then and there, they worshiped God. Her whole life had changed. Her whole countenance had changed. She chose to be a receiver, and in receiving, she was worshiping the Lord with what God had blessed her with. You know what's so beautiful about this restoration is that when God restores, He's also the God of increase. If you continue reading about Hannah's life in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 21, we read that God was most especially kind to Hannah. She had three more sons and two daughters, and the boy Samuel stayed at the sanctuary and grew up with God. God blessed her with a total of six kids. This woman who came from that place of desperation, who cried out to God, who turned to God, clung to His word, received what He had. God added increase. And what God did for Hannah, God wants to do for us today. One of my favorite scriptures is found in Ephesians chapter 3. It's actually verse 20 through 21. And it says, "Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." God wants to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. When He restores, He adds increase. It's who He is. Several years ago, our oldest son, Cademan, we were at the Transportation Museum just having a family day, and Cademan was involved in an accident in one of the train cabooses. And what happened was he was hanging on a bar, and he dropped down the moment that this metal door swung open in this caboose, landed a blunt force trauma. He had a long sleeve Under Armour shirt on, and he landed right in his armpit. So he immediately starts crying. I go to look and see what happens, and I'm the only one that was able to see what was taking place. And you guys, it was bad. I mean, here we are, we're almost a mile from our car. We're in a city we don't know, and I look and I recognize that it's trauma. I remember being in that place of desperation, of crying out to God, and I remember seeing it. I can visual it now of, "Lord, we need help. God, we need You to do a miracle in this moment." And Joshua picked him up. He pinned his arm as tight as he could, and we took off running. You know, we've got our four kids in tow. We're with another family of four. And I immediately just start praying and praying in the Spirit and crying out to God of, "Lord, You're going to heal him and preserve him and take care of him." So we Google map where to get to a hospital. We get right in. We go into the emergency room. There's no one in the waiting room. They rush us through. The moment that they look in, they take us into the actual emergency room. Joshua and I are back there, and the doctor on call comes in, and he goes, "I want to pray with you guys." I mean, it was just God taking care of us. So when the nurse practitioner pulled back Cademan's arm, everything had been cut but his main artery. And the first thing she said was, "This is a miracle from God," because she knew that the Lord had preserved his life, that what the enemy meant for bad, God had just, he took care of Cade every step of the way. She began to layer Cademan's skin and stitched him up, and Josh was at the feet of the bed. He does not do well with stitches. I'm at the head, and we're just praying and thanking God, and Cademan was actually completely numb to the pain. And the first miracle out of all of this was the Lord preserving his life. And then out of that, when he came home in our family doctor, he said, "You know, the second miracle from this was that he had no nerve damage. He has complete feeling in his fingers and his arm." He goes, "That's a miracle. That should not have taken place. It just doesn't make sense. I remember in this time of desperation in our life, how God did more than we could even ask or think. And God wants to do the same with you today. So as we close in prayer, I want you to cry out to God. I want you to pour your heart out to Him. Through this week, cling to His word and begin to receive what God has for you. If you don't know Jesus and you want to have a personal relationship with Him, we've got a prayer team that they want to pray with you right now. Make that phone call. Connect with us right now in this moment, because you're not alone. God loves you and God is for you. So whatever you need, what's at the top of your list, as we pray, we're joining in agreement together. So Father God, right now, I come in agreement by faith in the name of Jesus, that as we pour ourselves out to you, Lord, we are clinging to your word. We're turning to you, knowing that you are the God that does exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. Lord, I thank you for each person connecting with me by faith, Lord, that in their time of despair, in this time of desperation, that our hearts are turned to you, that we are hungry for souls, for people to be saved, for our homes to be filled with your glory and your power. God, that we go out this week in the power of God, ministering the name of Jesus, seeing you do a mighty work, Lord. And Lord, for those that are coming to know you right now that don't know you, Lord, I thank you that you are helping them and encouraging them along the way to be disciples of Jesus Christ. So Father, we commit this to you. We thank you, Lord, for it. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise. And in Jesus' name, we all said, amen. Hey, we love you all so much. We want to thank you for joining us. Don't skip out, because Pastor Christian's coming up and we're going to have an awesome time with Trailhead Kids. All right. I love you guys. We'll see you soon.